to generations.
Generations, Lord, we proclaim
your majesty,
your majesty,
and your goodness
to generations. And your goodness to generations.
We honor you, Father. Thank you for your presence, for your word, for your spirit. As we go into the word now, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. In particular, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I would speak as I should, as your oracle. I ask, Father, that by your mercy, the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful. Yes, to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual lives, all agreed with me individually and said, I have a very important instructional message, present truth message, as is a truth that is presently being fulfilled. It's actually like a continuation of my message from last week. I didn't plan it that way. It was as I developed it, as the Holy Spirit developed it in me, that I realized the connection. And I've entitled it, Walking the Narrow Way by God's Mercy. Walking the Narrow Way by God's Mercy. I mentioned last week that we need to establish our hearts to prepare them for the coming of the Lord in us. Might I quickly put us into remembrance that when we talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, majority of people only think of either the rapture or the millennial reign. Or Jesus is going to come back and he's going to come. And that's true. He's going to come back. And he's going to come back in the rapture. But really, there's much more detail to it than that. There are actually four aspects. I got the second aspect from my friend, Professor Fred Adekoke. You know, I said it before, but you know, he made it much more clear. He's going to, first of all, come in us, in the perfection, the fullness of Christ, causing us to inherit the Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Spirit now, but we certainly do not have it. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. We don't have that. That's why you don't see anything. The time the thing would have come out would be during COVID. If there was anybody on earth that had the Spirit without measure when this COVID thing broke down, we would have seen it then. The COVID, God allowed it to shake all nations to show that the church has not yet got the Spirit without measure. And if there was anything we should learn from the COVID experience, is to get deeper into God in our closets, so that as this COVID thing recedes from the earth, we will come out with a spirit without measure. For the Bible tells us, is in Psalm 67 verse 2, you know, he's saving health among all nations. There's one of the significant aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the healing of the sick. I hear people say, oh, Jesus just came to save us from sin. No. It's true he came to save us from sin. Fundamentally, firstly and foundationally, that is true. But he didn't come to save us from sin only. He also came to save us from sickness. And he also came to save us from poverty. All the three of them were on the cross. For cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. The curse of sin, the curse of sickness, the curse of poverty. And God wants the church to demonstrate the healing power of God to all nations. It's the will of God. He really wants that. And it cannot be done without spirit, without measure. You see it in the ministry of Jesus, who is the prototype, the pattern son. Anytime Jesus preached, and I'm going to do the same thing this afternoon, he would end by healing the sick. He healed those that had need of healing. Even when people had unbelief and they didn't believe, that power would still be there. One time he was preaching, he's in Peter's house, you know, and all the doctors of the law, you know, that's all the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they'd heard about this, you know, young man from Nazareth, and many of them were very skeptical. Many of them didn't believe who he was. But they said, let's go and hear. So the Bible says the place was packed. It was jam-packed. You know, Peter's house is a residential house. It wasn't an auditorium. In those days, they didn't have auditoriums and cathedrals that developed later on. You know? So Jesus was there. You know? The Bible says, and he taught the word. And you know what the scripture says? He says, and the power of God was present to heal. And the Lord told me recently, he said, that happens all the time. It's all the time. The power of God, anytime the word of God is preached under unction with revelation and anointing, the power to heal. You know why? The healing is a part of the package. God wants to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper as a demonstration to humanity of his love and his kindness to us. And this just came to me by the Spirit now, to show men that he's not responsible for those things. God didn't give anybody sickness. Sickness is a consequence of sin and separation from God. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What did Jesus destroy when he was on earth? Sickness. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. Every sickness is a satanic oppression. If you can't say amen, say oh me. No will of God. Never. And never will be. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this many years ago. God bless him. Give Kenneth Hagin a clap offering. Amen. He's in heaven. And you know what he said? He said that Jesus prayed that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said that if there is sickness in heaven, then we can pray that his will be done on earth. He said if we pray the kingdom of God is the will of God in heaven on earth, certainly we know that there's no sickness in heaven. So for the will of God to be on earth as it is in heaven means that God's will on earth is that there should be no sickness. Give the Lord a clap offering. Simple logic. And so precise and so clear. You know, don't mix the devil and God up. It's the devil that brings sickness and disease. And God wants to heal his people. So God wants us to inherit the spirit without measure, where we can see instant healings. You see, in the ministry of Jesus, the healings were instant. Well, maximum a few hours. You know, usually not less than 24 hours. But we don't see that today. We see healings today, but we don't see too many instant healings. So we pray and we get better. Sometimes we have to use medical science to help. And there's nothing wrong in that. because it's all part of a growth process, you know. But what is coming, this spirit without measure, is going to, that's going one of the characteristics. It's going to demonstrate instant healing. So Jesus is preaching and the power of the Lord is present to heal them. And they brought a man who was sick, you know, with the palsy. He was paralyzed. Today we say he was a paralytic. They could not enter, you know, because one, there were too many people. Two, they were not important people. You know, just a guy with a palsy, you know, when there are big men inside the place, all the doctors of the law from all Judea and Jerusalem and everywhere, all the top guys were at that meeting, came to Peter's house to come and listen to. So, you know, just an ordinary man like that would not be allowed inside. In fact, I'm sure some of the strong men at the gate, you can imagine James and John, the sons of thunder. So, come on, get away from here. You know. So, you know what those boys did? They went to the roof. And they tore open Peter's roof. And began to let the sick, the paralytic man, they let him down. The Bible tells something very wonderful and interesting. It says, and Jesus looked up. And he saw their faith. How can you see faith? Action. That's how you see faith. He said, show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by. See, my actions will prove whether I have faith or I don't have faith. He said, he saw their faith. And they put the man, they let the man down from the something. Then Jesus said something wonderful. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is a double package. It's always deal with sin and then deal with sickness. And the strong men, they have not changed, Pastor Benga. They are still the same today. In their heart, they were criticizing. Who is this that speaks blasphemies? They didn't say it out. They didn't have the courage. You know, who can forgive sins? Jesus immediately. You know, if you're a spiritual person, you can perceive people's hearts. You know, immediately Jesus picked it in his spiritual antenna and radar. Because see, anytime you are thinking in your heart, you are sending out a signal in the spirit realm. I don't care whether what you say with your mouth. And you know what? Demons can say this. They can see the signal in your heart that's coming from your heart. They know when there is faith and they know when there is not faith. So Jesus really picked it and said, okay, let me ask you a simple question. What is easier? Watch this. To say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? The truth about it is neither is easier, because only God can do both. But that you may know, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. That the Son of Man has authority. The word power is in the King James, exousia. That has authority to forgive sins. Take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says, and the man took up his... everybody say instantly. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was in... You see, all this one we do and we try... It's not... It's because we are doing with spirit with measure. When spirit without measure is in operation, it's instant. The man immediately, he got up. Everybody look at the word immediately. Everybody shout it. I didn't hear you. Say it one more time. Say it with a lot more noise. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that's the characteristic of the spirit without measure. You have to inherit it. Immediately. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he got up and he left. When he left, you know what the people said? You go to the next verse. He says, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God. All these skeptic guys. And they were filled with fear instead of being filled with faith. And saying, we have seen strange things today. What we Yoruba people call iyanu. What makes your mouth open? You know, the amazing thing about this story is that the power was not there to heal that man. It was there to heal them. Give the Lord a clap offering. It was there. It wasn't there to heal that man. It was them that were listening, just like you now that you are listening. The power is here to heal you. But sadly, the people who it was brought for, they didn't get healed because they didn't believe. But the man who it was not there for, who didn't even qualify to come for the meeting, who had faith and had so much faith, he demonstrated it by opening the roof, he got it. God wants us to establish our hearts so he will come in us in this spirit, with this spirit without measure. And I said this last week, that the degree to which your heart is prepared will determine the degree to which you can manifest a spirit without measure. You see this in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had a spirit without measure. He was who actually inherited. Then God took some of it and put it on the 12 apostles. He took some of it and he put it on the 70 disciples. They manifested, but not at Jesus' level. They healed the sick, instant. They cleansed the lepers, instant. We don't have any record of any of them raising the dead at that time. I think the guys who did that was later on in the Acts of the Apostles. You see Peter raising the dead. Then you see Paul too raising the dead. See, the raising of the dead was not that common. And that's how it's going to be in this time too. As the Lord comes in us, the degree to which you prepare your heart will determine the degree to which you can manifest the Spirit without measure. I've said this before. I'm going to keep saying it because it's God's truth. Healing the sick, things like cancer, cleansing the lepers, things like, you know, withered hands growing out, will be as common as tongues is now. If you can't say amen, say omi. Yeah. It'll be common. Because the average disciple will be able to do those things. It'll be like the 12 and the 70. It won't be a big deal. And that's why the healing power of God will be known amongst all nations. Because even disciples who have got what we call the borrowed anointing, who have not inherited the full spirit without measure, at that level, they will heal the sick and they will cleanse lepers. It will be common. It won't be everybody. Just like today, tongues is common, but not everybody prays in tongues. And even those who pray in tongues, not everybody prays in tongues effectually and fervently. So it's going to be with the spirit without measure. Everybody will, you know, not everybody will have it. It's only those that qualify, who have been following Jesus, you know, and have become disciples, who, let's get back to the message, have prepared their hearts. Those who have not prepared their hearts will not get the Spirit without measure. So you have to prepare your heart. So I said, to establish your heart, you have to be, I'm saying that for today, patient or consistent. The word patience in the New Testament means consistency. Doing the same thing over and over, over and over again, consistently. My wife made a comment recently about Good Morning Jesus and prayer and all of that. See, the average Christian has been brought up without the virtue of patience. That is why many of them find it difficult to come for a form like Good Morning Jesus and stay. Because Good Morning Jesus prayers are structured prayers. The fear of God, the fruit of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, life scriptures. Then we now pray in tongues and with prophetic declarations and all that kind of thing. And it's the same structure, it doesn't change. So patience is the ability to keep doing the same thing consistently. And the Bible says that's how you inherit the promises, through faith and patience. No patience, no inheritance. I didn't hear amen. So, you have to be patient and consistent in walking in what the Bible calls the narrow way. So today, I'm going to zero in on the narrow way and why it is narrow. I have mentioned these things tangentially in many messages over the months and years. But today the Holy Spirit said, go and preach and teach this to the church. That is scripture pastor and the whole church, really, because all our messages, of course, go on YouTube. So it has and they're on the internet. So there's a universal broadcast of the message. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. And we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. One of the great statements that came from the lips of the Master himself. You know what he said? He said, "Enter ye in." I didn't hear you. "At the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many," everybody say many. Then turn to your mind, but do you know the meaning of many? Two thirds. Majority. That didn't come from Mulubi Johnson. It came from the Word of God. The Bible says two thirds will be cut off and die. Destruction. It says one third. By the time I finish this message, you will understand. Why people don't go the narrow gate? People take the broad, easy way. And you know the tragedy of the matter, honey, Pastor G, the tragedy of the matter is that their teachers teach them that the broad way is okay. And don't mind, Pastor Lupi. Don't mind all these people. You don't have to do all of that. Look at this person, he didn't do that. Look at this one, he didn't do that. Look at this one, he didn't do that. And see how God is blessing them. They've forgotten that the kingdom is not meat and drink. They are measuring God's kingdom and God's blessing by material things. And thinking that, you know, they suppose that gain is godliness. So they think, this guy not praying without, they're not doing all of these things, you know, and see how God is blessing them. As if a man's life consists in the things, the abundance of the things that he has. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. It will lead to destruction. And he's not talking about sinners, and he's not talking about hell. The traditional Christian will take it and say, few of us that are, straight and we are following Jesus, and it's the great majority of the world is going to destruction and going to hell. He's not talking about hellfire. He's talking to his disciples. Contextualize it. He's talking about the church. Majority of the church want to look for the broad and wide way. And I'm going to explain in a minute. And most of them reject the narrow way. So they say, why? Because it's narrow. That's why. A narrow way is an uncomfortable way. Majority go the way that it seems broad and wide and easy. Anybody who tells you that your Christian life will not require sacrifice is telling you a lie. Hear me, church. No crown without a cross. You are not going to inherit the spirit without measure. You're not going to inherit eternal life in abundance. Same thing as spirit without measure. Jesus said, "I'm come that they may have life." Everybody gets that. Born again. But he didn't stop there. He said, "And that they may have it more abundantly." And he wasn't talking about Mercedes cars. And he wasn't talking about a house in Lekki. And he wasn't talking about material things. It will produce a Mercedes. It can produce a house in Lekki. But that's not the fundamental thing. He's talking about having the life of God in abundant measure. Or like we say, without measure. So he says, the broad way will lead to destruction. Destruction, there is not hellfire. Majority of the time, it could lead to hellfire, but that's very, 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 very rare. He's talking about what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I give you scripture. It says, deliver him unto Satan for the destruction. It says destruction. Give me that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 5. This person was a Christian. He's not talking about sinners here going to hell. He's talking about Christians dying prematurely. Dying, not when God wants them to die. And losing their inheritance. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. The wide road leads to this. It leads to destruction. that the spirit may be saved. He will be saved. He will go to heaven. He's not talking about sinners. Take your mind off sinners. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about born again, spirit filled, tongue talking Christians who have chosen the wide and the easy way instead of following the narrow way of discipleship that will lead to glory. They are not taking the easy way, and the easy way is going to lead to destruction of the flesh, even though your spirit will be saved and you go to heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me just nail it down. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three reasons, let every word be established. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, he says, he will suffer loss, but he will be saved, yet so as by fire. Thank you. Every man, let me just let me read this. Say, for every man's work shall be made manifest. I'm not hearing you. For the day shall declare it. Turn to your neighbor, say, that day is already upon us. The night is far spent. Let me tell you something, folks. Once the manifestation of the sons of God starts, the day has dawned. Not the rapture. Once the manifestation of the sons of God, because it's going to bring glory and light. Once the manifestation of the sons of God starts, the day has dawned and it's right in front of us. Once it happens, the quality of your Christian life will show up. Because one of two things will happen to you. If your quality is gold, silver, and precious stones, you will inherit the reward of the Spirit without measure. At different levels, but you will inherit. Some will heal the sick instantly. Some will be able to cleanse lepers. Others will be able to raise the dead. Depending on whether it's gold, silver, you know. Next verse. That's what I just said. Verse 15. Let me just zero in on that. Here it is. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about Christians. If any man's work shall be burned, that is, if he built with wood, hay, or stubble, if he took the broad and wide way, the way that they're lying to them so that they can get their money. You don't need to do the eyes. They lie, don't mind those good people. You know, God is not that hard, you know. And it's true. God is not hard. His yoke is easy. But the way you're going to be able to do that yoke is by faith. But the way is still straight and it's still narrow. Don't let anybody fool you. Like MLK used to say. That's Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody fool you, folks. If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. Loss of inheritance. Loss of spirit without measure. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. And even that saved will be by the skin of his nose. You know, the Old Testament Christian, you know, that this picture reminds me of is Lot. How many know Lot was saved? Give me a wave offering if you know Lot was saved. Put your hand down. How many want to be like Lot? Don't put your hand up. Lot was saved so as by fire. Yes, he was saved. But do you want your life to be like Lot? And you know the genesis of Lot. Abraham took him without God's permission. God, the Bible says, I called him alone. But out of emotion, thank you, darling, we must be very careful. Out of emotion! Egbon, brother, because he was his uncle. To say it in our language in Yoruba, Egbon, brother, ejekin teleyin. Olorun ni ko tele mi. In other words, my brother and my uncle, you know, please let me follow you. And then the uncle said, no, God didn't ask us to follow you. No, I will follow you. I will follow you. Okay, Sarah, let them follow us. Let them follow us. That's how Lord followed Abraham. But his character soon showed up. The Bible says when the cattle, he was not following Abraham to go and look for a city built by God. Abraham saw something and God said, go to that place. I'm going to show you, you know, and make a great nation out of you. Lot was not following, watch this. Lot was not following Abraham for destiny. He was following Abraham for material possession. Because he knew God was blessing Abraham. A lot of people are following us not for destiny. They are following us because they believe that, you know, when, you know, Borulubi and Mommy Sarah, they are very nice people. Once they have, once God blesses them now, I'm not marrying no. Which is true. And which is okay. But don't be like Lot. And Abraham looked at him and said, you want to fight me because of cattle and sheep and goats? Till we are brethren. Anywhere you want to go. If you go here, I will go here. If you go here, I will go here. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Nothing has changed, folks. There are a lot of lots in the church. Can I quantify it? 2/3 of the church are lots. According to the scripture, Zechariah chapter 13. They're saved, though. But so is by fire. He lifted up his eyes, just like a lot of people today. In Yoruba, in our language, we say ojukokoro, means greed, covetousness. He wasn't following Abraham for destiny. If he was following Abraham for destiny, he would never leave Abraham. Ruth followed Naomi for destiny. She did not follow Naomi for what she could get. She followed Naomi for what God could give her. Big difference. Naomi said, why do you want to go with me? Do I have any sons in my womb? Even if I have a husband and I had children today, are you going to wait until when they grow up to marry them? Why are you following me? God have mercy on us. This, honey, this message, the Holy Ghost. I had another message. God said, this is what you have to preach this Sunday. And you will chew on this message for the next 1 month. Be thinking about it. Are you listening to me? God is asking you the same question today. Why are you following us? Visa, husband, wife, job, healing, blessing. Why are you following us? Why are you coming here? Jesus asked a question. What seekest thou? They were following him. James and John and James, it was John and Andrew at first. What seekest thou? I said, we want to know where you live. He said, oh, yeah, come. But he wasn't the only one that he asked those questions. You remember the fish and bread crowd? They also were following him. He fed them overnight, you know, the night before. You know, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. This is good, man. Bread at his sardine. We're going to follow this man. When they came the next day, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, you didn't follow me because of the miracle, so that you too can inherit the spirit. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. So you too can inherit the spirit without measure, so you can do the same miracles I do. That's not the reason why you're following me. You're not following because of destiny. You're following because you ate the bread and fish and you were filled. Nothing has changed. Majority of the church, 2/3, fall into that category. That's why in the end time, this dawn of the day, they're going to be cut off. Doesn't mean they're going to hell. But they're going to suffer loss. They're going to be saved like Lot was saved. So as by fire. You know what happened to Lot? Went to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he lifted up his eyes. The place looked good. Don't follow what your eyes see. It looked good materially and financially. Like the garden of the Lord. All that glitters is not gold. And he followed him. They went there. Said that for many years. We know the story. God finally had to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, like he's going to bring judgment upon the world. You can't say amen, say omi. Oh, judgment is coming. Now, chill. We're going to be here, but God is not going to allow the judgment to be like in Nigeria, for example. God is not going to bring judgment like war that's going to disrupt life, that we, so that we can continue to lead a quiet and peaceful life. Judgment now is going to be selective. When God wanted to judge the children of Israel and they misbehaved in the desert, God said, they have provoked me 10 times. He said, Moses, move. Let me destroy them as one man. And it was a righteous anger. And God was right. And he said, I will raise a nation out of you. You're still seed of Abraham. Moses said, let me say it in Yoruba. It's a paraphrase. Olorun ma baraje o. In our language, that means, God, don't do that. Oh, because people will misinterpret you. He said, the Egyptians will say you brought them, you couldn't deliver them. And you know what Moses told God? It's one of the statements in the Bible I find very illuminating about God's character. This person we're dealing with, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. This person we're dealing with is a very honest and humble person, even though he controls and made the whole universe. You know what Moses told him? He said, repent of this thy fierce anger. Huh? He told God. He said, repent of this thy fierce anger. Look at it. Turn away. It's Moses, a man talking to God. And repent of this evil against thy people. Next verse. Next verse. Don't be afraid. Remember Abraham and Isaac and all. Next verse. Verse 14. And the Lord repented. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. That tells you the kind of person we're dealing with. He didn't say, Moses, you talk to me, God, like that. That's what a proud person would say. But God is not like that. God is not like that. God endures long and is patient. He's not boastful. He's not vainglorious. That's his character. Because Moses was right. God said, he repented of the evil. Okay, we won't do it that way. We won't deal with Nigeria that way. That's what Nigeria deserves. How many people know that? But we won't do it because I have some righteous people there. I have 10, I have 50. So you know what I'm going to do? See, all these wicked politicians, I'm speaking prophetically as I'm teaching. All these corrupt church leaders who have led my people astray and who have said things about me that are not true about me. He said, not one of them will enter the promised land. So what did God do? He still brought judgment, but it was now selective. All of them 20 years old and above, not one of them entered the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. He's doing the same thing today. Judgment is coming. Honey, correction. Judgment is here. And he's going to start doing it one by one. You haven't seen anything yet, oh? You haven't seen anything yet. There are days we're going to wake up, just say 10 people are gone. And now that you wake up, say 50. Boom. Without human hand. It's on the way. So that's what happened. Lot went to Sodom. You know the interesting thing, Pastor Andrew? All the sheep and the goats that he wanted, where were they in Sodom? The thing that made him leave Abraham Where was it in Sodom? By the time God's judgment fell on Sodom, Abraham was the one who now interceded for Lot. I tell you, Lot is a Christian. He's not an unbeliever. He didn't go to hell. He was saved. It was Abraham's intercession that saved Lot. And God now, you know, sent two angels to Sodom to go and deliver Lot. Do you know he was saved literally so as by fire? The fire was going to come down. The angel said, hurry! Quick! The Bible says he was watching Taddy May. In our language, that means he was still lingering. He was so used to Sodom. May God have mercy on the church. So the angel had to take his hand, and literally they pulled him. As they left, the fire fell, so as by fire. And you know what? His wife didn't escape. Her heart was still in Sodom. Maybe she left her earring. Bear a necklace, Danny. Careful what your heart is attached to. Necklace. And she just became a pillar of salt. My wife and I, by the grace of God, we are going to Israel next year. This COVID is over now. You know, they're allowing, and we are fully vaccinated by the grace of God. We'll go, you know, trusting God early next year. See, I you know, I've been getting a lot of information from different sources on the internet. There is a pillar near the Red Sea, the area where Sodom used to be. They say it's called the pillar of Lot's wife. You can actually see the erosion. It looks like a woman. Can you imagine? May God say good things about you. They go looking for the pillar of Lot's wife. Into the necklace. God have mercy. I'm preaching like this deliberately by the Holy Ghost. Stop putting your mind in the things of the world. That's what happened. So Lot is the typical example of those that are saved by fire. They saved though, but by fire. You don't want to be like Lot. So you know what? Build with gold and silver. Take the narrow way. Don't take the broad and the wide and the easy way. The broad and the wide and the easy way will land you up like Lot. Yes, you will be saved, but you'll be saved so as by fire. And a few may not even be saved. Lot was saved. His wife wasn't. And of all the Old Testament women and characters, the one that Jesus singles out is Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. But amen. Verse 14. Matthew chapter 7. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads on to life. Life, all of us already have life. He's talking about that will lead to life in abundance, that's going to lead to the Spirit without measure. And few, relatively now, there be that find it. Only one third. The remaining two thirds go the easy way. And one of the reasons for this message is to turn you from the easy way to the narrow way if you've already been going in the way of the easy way, because that's what somebody told you. Let me read this from one or two other translations. From the Amplified Bible, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and spacious, and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And I've explained destruction. It's not hellfire. It's, you know, dying without getting your inheritance, you know, even though your spirit may be saved. And many, majority, two-thirds, are those who are entering it. You know, the New International Version says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, and that's what's happening as I speak, They're going through the broad and the easy way. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. You don't have to pray. Yes, you should pray, but you know, God is understanding. You can pray the way you like. God understands. Just, you know, just pray the little you can pray, you know, and God will bless you. So long as you put offering in the money into something and you sow seed, God will bless you. It's a lie. And I've been sent. I'm a messenger by the grace and the mercy of God. I'm a prophetic messenger. I'm an apostolic messenger. I've been sent to tell the church that they are being deceived. It will lead to destruction. Not necessarily hellfire. But why do you want to live your life in the borderline? I just got a word. When a man joins together with his wife, the two of them become one flesh. Sodom and Gomorrah separated Lot and his wife. Can you believe that? It separated Lot and his wife. It shows you how close Lot came to not making it. That's why it says service by fire. Because half of him didn't make it. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. So, what is this way? Let's get back to Matthew 7. Straight or narrow. You know, is the gate, you know, the Amplified says, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Small, you know, it's constricted. Now, what is this way? Let me explain it. The way is the way Jesus went. That's why one of the names of Jesus is I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how did Jesus live? That's the way. And we will see in a minute now why it is narrow. The way Jesus lived, the Bible says, in the days of his flesh. Hebrews chapter 5. Go there. And look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is exclusive. Honey, you know this revelation of Hebrews chapter 5 is exclusive to Paul. Paul was the one who wrote Hebrews. Do you understand? We don't have any other revelation of how Jesus. We have a few some things in the Gospels. We know he prayed and all of that. But the detail is Paul it was given to. Who in the days. Everybody say days. Days, plural. So it wasn't just Gethsemane. This was how Jesus lived when he was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. All those years in Nazareth. When he was in the carpenter's shop. This was how he was living. That's how you should be living now. Whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an engineer, whether you're an economist. That's how you should be living. In the days of his flesh. This is the way. And that's why it's narrow. I'm going to show you in a minute. When he had offered up. I didn't hear you. Prayers and supplication with strong crying. That's where we get groaning from. And tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Jesus prayed as a daily habit. With all kinds of prayer and spirit and supplication and travail. With the fear of God. That's the way. That's the way. Now, why is it narrow? God said I should zero in on this. Because it requires, there's only one way you can go that way. Self-denial. And that's what people don't want to do. And I'm going to give you scripture. Everybody, turn in me your Bible, first of all, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And look at verse, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 23. Luke chapter 9. These are not Olubi Johnson's words. Because I've quoted these scriptures and said them, you know, over the years. So people think that, you know, maybe it's our doctrine. It's not our doctrine. This is Jesus talking. And he said to them, some. This is not exclusive. This is not just for a few people. It's for everybody. If you are a born again child of God, he's talking to you. He said to them all. No exceptions. If any man, I didn't hear you, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once a week, once a month, at the Feast of Passover, at the Feast of Pentecost, at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know that's how we treat it? It's when we have an emergency or something, then we now get serious. Then after that, we go back to our carnal ways. He said, daily. And follow me. The word follow from the Greek is mimetes. It means mimic or imitate. Now he says something here that is of tremendous importance. He says, for whosoever will save his life, will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. This is where the narrow comes in. I wrote some things down here that the Holy Ghost gave me. In order to walk this narrow way, you must do what Christ said here. You must deny yourself daily. Now, let's ask ourselves the question. Deny yourself of what? To answer that question, and you have to understand what it means by save his life. What is life? The natural life. Watch this. The life that indulges in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God wants to give you a transformed, a metamorphosed life. A higher life in which your mind, your will, your emotions have been renewed and transformed by the fruit of the Spirit. Your body has been rejuvenated by the life of God. The life of God is made manifest in your mortal flesh. That is the new life. The old life is the one in which the sin nature dominates the mind, the will, and the emotions. If you like that life and you hold it, you will never get the transformed and the higher life. But if you want to get the transformed and the higher life, you have to hate and crucify and lose the lower life. That is the choice staring us in the face. Which of the two lives do you love more? Which of the two lives do you want to live here on earth? It's not talking about heaven. Here on earth. Do you want to live a natural, carnal life? You still go to heaven. See, your going to heaven has nothing to do with what you do. It's what whether you believe in Jesus or not. Like the thief on the cross. He couldn't change what he had done. But he still went to heaven. He used to go to heaven. But the transformed life will now determine your reward. It will determine the order and the glory of your resurrection. It will determine even the glory of God that you manifest while you are here on earth. What is more important to you? Is bread, meat and drink more important to you than the glory of God? These are rhetorical questions that you as an individual, you have to answer by yourself. And this is what the Holy Ghost is bringing to the church. If you want to keep your lower life, you will lose the higher life. If you want to get the higher life, you have to crucify the lower life. And that is where this issue of self-denial comes in. Let's be practical. The other day, we're talking about Good Morning Jesus. It was 3 July 1. And I was making some comments, you know, about mommy and the team. How they have to get up by 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then they go to work. They don't finish the prayer and go and sleep. Well, I was asking Dr. Williams the other day and Professor Olakwade, I said, do you sleep at work? He said, no, they don't sleep. And I know them. They're top professionals. And it's not only them, there are many like that. How do they do it? They're not superhuman. They still need the same amount of sleep that you do. They still need, you know. So, it means that there must be a way. It's this narrow way. And I said it that day. I said, something suffers. Who? Do you understand? Television suffers. Gisting. Just idle talk. It will suffer. It will have to go. Because the reason why they can get up early and go to work is because they go to bed early. And the reason why they go to get early is that they crucify. They don't have a social. They're not going from one party to the other. They're not going to see this person here and see that person. If you want to get the higher life, you must deny yourself. You must get rid of the lower life. You can't have one. You can't eat your cake and have it. And that is why the Lord is having me teach this message in great detail. The life, to get the higher life, you must crucify the lower life. And then God gave me scripture. He said, what do you deny? You deny the lust of the flesh, over talking, over eating, over sleeping. I did not say you don't sleep. I did not say you don't talk. I did not say you don't eat. I said over. The lust of the eyes, covetousness, your eyes are in all. The Bible says the eyes of a fool are in all the ends of the earth. But wisdom is before him. The pride of life, ambition, titles. If those things matter to you more than your spiritual life, if you don't deny yourself of those things, you're not going to get the higher life. And that's why many people don't get it. And that's why they tell them, oh, all that doesn't matter. And then they go the broad way, which is going to lead to destruction. But if you want a higher life, you must deny that lower life. Deny the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then the Lord gave me a scripture. Beautiful. I said, Holy Spirit, thank you. You know what he said? He said, deny all things that are lawful, but not expedient. You see, this gospel we are preaching is not a gospel of... there's a word I'm looking for. It is not a truth that deals with... Oh, there's a word. It will come to me. The Holy Spirit will put me to remembrance. You see, it's not just trying to do things by the flesh. You know, when we first became Christians, don't wear trousers. Don't wear jeans. Beg pardon? What? Legality, thank you. Legalism is not that. It's not, look at me, I'm wearing a nice dress by the grace and mercy of God. You know? But you see, that's not it. But I deny myself. God is not saying we shouldn't live a good life. But he's saying we should put him first and deny self. So I deny things that are lawful. Watching television is lawful. Reading a novel is lawful. So long as it's not a dirty novel or anything, you know? You know? If it's, you know? Yes, this is lawful. But is it expedient? Going to see your friend and your auntie and your uncle and visit everybody, you know, is lawful. But is it expedient? At what cost? These are some of the things you have to cut. I'm not saying don't do them at all. But like my wife and I, we do those things only when it's absolutely necessary. Why? Because we have to give time. Let me break it down. To deny yourself is to deny things that are lawful, they're not wrong, but are not expedient, so you can give extra time to prayer and the word. That's it. Because if you don't give the extra time to prayer and the word, you cannot be a disciple. Jesus said so. He said that you take up his cross, and he says a daily habit. You daily deny yourself of those things so you can give time. Get up early in the morning like Jesus did. pray 2-3 hours. Then you go to work, you know, and you're even at work and all that, you're walking in the spirit every 6 hours. You're confessing the word is neither in thy heart and in thy mouth. That means you're praying frequently in tongues, you know, so you're being led by the spirit. The life of God is going into your mortal flesh. That's it. That is it, folks. You know, so for that to happen, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. There's no way you can do this life and not deny yourself. That is why it is narrow. I didn't hear amen. Not even one amen. That's why it's narrow. It's the self-denial that makes it narrow. It's narrow. But you have to ask yourself a question. What am I looking for? What is life all about? That thing I went to do, how is it going to help? How is it going to help me in eternity? See, that's why they didn't understand Jesus. Jesus denied himself. He was a nice person. He was, you know, very decent and everything. But he was very disciplined. The place he won't go. It's not everything he went to. He was even the feast in Cana of Galilee, his mommy asked him to come and he took his disciples. He had just started his ministry. He could have said, oh, mommy, look. He said, okay, let me just honor this mommy and follow her. I got there. You know, he said, they don't have wine. The first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, what's my business? Yeah, that's what he said. That's the English contemporary translation. What's my business? Then she said, you know, anything he tells you. Then he now checked with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, bless them. Help them. Okay, fill this thing with water. And then turn water to wine. That's Jesus for you. You want to be like him? You have to learn the same thing. As I begin to close, we have to understand that the straight and narrow way is a life of self-denial. It is not a life of legalism. I want to make that distinction. Tonight, I'm going to watch Euro 2020. I'm rooting for England. As I was praying this morning, I said, Holy Ghost, I said, Lord, have mercy. They have sang for years, God save the Queen. Now God save the team. I said, you saved the Queen. Now please God save the team. We will see what God will do in the evening. I'm going to watch that match. So I'm more legalistic. But before I watch the match, I've done 5 hours of prayer. I get home this afternoon now. And I get home, my wife knows. You know, I'll get in there. I'll start praying. I'll pray. Maybe I get home around 2 or 3. You know, I'll pray 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7:30. The boys are looking at me. 7:45. And if I've not finished the phase of prayer, I'll put the television on. Put it on silent. And I'll be praying in tongues until I finish. Before I start watching the match, give the Lord a clap offering. It's not legalism. And you know, we used to do that. In this church, you know, whenever it's World Cup final, how many people know? It's only once in 4 years. I will remove the 3 hours after so we can watch World Cup. Even God watches World Cup. Maybe you don't know. I'm just trying to tell you that God is not legalistic. But he still demands us to live a life of self-denial. So I'm not going to leave church now and go to this place and go and talk to this one and go to one restaurant there and go and eat and all of that. It's not wrong. I can decide to leave church now and take my wife and let's go to Golden Tulip. Baba. I'm going to enjoy 3-course Sunday buffet. Pastor G, effectively, what? I'm what? Shall I be done? Now, those things are not wrong. It's okay to do that. And occasionally we do that. Maybe if I have a guest and I want to entertain them, I do that. But I don't do that every day. You know why? It's not expedient, it's lawful. but it is not expedient. I'm going to end with one part of this message, probably one of the most important parts of it, mercy. How do I walk on this straight and narrow? I've told you consistently, I've told you, you with mercy. Ask for mercy to help you in the straight and the narrow way. Straight is narrow, but the mercy of God will help you. Mercy does three things. As quickly, it's a very important review. Let me just quote them. Quick. Number one, the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice by the word mercies. Plural. So you don't need mercy only once every day. You need mercy maybe 100 times, maybe 500 times every day. The number of times I ask for mercy now, I can't even count it. I want to pray I ask for mercy to clean with the blood to receive life. You know, I've learned that now. I didn't used to do that before. I used to ask for mercy before, but not with the frequency which I ask for it now. Because I recognize and I understand that it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. We know we God of time. I don't want to go to too many scriptures. You know, everybody knows Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Because of the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed. You see, even though the road is straight and narrow, and when you try and walk on it, you'll be under pressure. Sometimes you will fall. Sometimes you won't do the right thing. The mercy of God will preserve you. See, God is looking at the sincerity and the determination of your heart to walk that narrow road. He's not looking at how well you are walking it. So long as the honesty is there and the determination is there, he'll give you mercy. So even when you fall, he will preserve you. Then another thing he's going to do for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Is second, not first. They need mercy up there. Mercy, Lord. Okay. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. What I've told you, you know, straight and away, looks a little bit hard, but you know, because of the mercy of God, you won't faint. That you will go through the road. And after a while, you start walking on it with confidence. And you will stop falling. Where you are falling 10 times a day before you start falling 5 times. Then after a while, you start following 3 times. Then after a while, you start following 2 times. Then after a while, you start following once. Then after a while, you start following 0. You don't fall 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Glory to God. It's all by mercy. You won't start with 0. You will start with 10 or 15 or 20. But mercy will cover you. Mercy will preserve you. Mercy will cause you not to faint. Last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 25. Am I helping anybody? Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter. This is all New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I give my judgment as one that I'll obtain mercy to be what? So mercy will do 3 things for you. Mercy will cause you not to be consumed along this narrow road. Mercy will cause you not to faint or be discouraged on this narrow road. And finally, mercy will cause you to be faithful on this narrow road. So you will finish well. Stand to your feet. And when you finish well, you know what? You will never boast. Because you will know that without the mercy of God, you could not have, number one, discovered the narrow road. Number two, you couldn't have started walking on it. It's the mercy of God that will preserve you walking the narrow road. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, my God. And I will walk. And I will walk in your ways. Give me, hallelujah. Totally. Give me your totally undivided heart. That I may fear your name.
Purify my heart.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord, I pray.
Glory to God.
Remove from me
all
that is standing in the way. Purify my heart.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord, I pray. Remove from me
all
that is standing in the way of your love.
Teach me your ways. Sing it as a prayer. It's actually a prayer. Teach me your ways. The narrow way. Teach me, Lord.
Totally undivided heart that I may fear your name.
Purify my heart.
Cleanse me, Lord, I pray.
Remove from me
all that is standing in the way.
Purify my heart.
Cleanse me, Lord,
I pray.
Remove from me
all
that is standing in the way of your love.
Draw me close to you. It's a medley.
Draw me close to you.
It goes together.
Draw me close to you, Lord.
Never let me go.
Please never let me go.
I lay it all down.
Deny myself. Deny myself.
To hear you say that I'm your friend.
Glory to God.
You were my desire.
More than the loss of the flesh, more than that. I desire God more.
No one else will do. For nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find a way.
Bring me back to you.
Bring me back.
Draw me close to you. Start again from the beginning. Draw me close to you. It's a prayer. Teach me your ways. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Lord, never let me go.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
For I lay it all down again.
That's self-denial. Lay it all down.
To hear you say that I'm your friend.
You're my own.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it.
You were my desire.
You were my desire.
No one else will do.
No one else will do.
Nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth.
feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way.
This way, this narrow way.
Bring me back to you.
You're all I need. Glory to God.
Heart.
You're all I want.
You're all I've ever needed.
You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want.
Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, Lord. In thy heart that thou mayest do. Help me know, Lord.
Help me know you.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other one to God. You are standing at the crossroads of your destiny. The choice you make this afternoon, in the light of this word, will determine which road you're going to take. Some of us are already on the narrow way. Tell God I'm going to continue. Others have not yet taken the narrow way. They're still walking in the broad, easy way. They don't deny themselves. They do a lot of things that are lawful, but are not expedient. And nobody condemns them because what they're doing is lawful. But it's time to change. So you can get a reward. So you can inherit the spirit without measure that is coming. So you can have a glorious resurrection. Don't live only for this life. Don't be foolish. Don't sell your inheritance for a piece of pottage. Pottage is lawful. It was lawful to eat the pottage. But it was not expedient. And it cost Esau his inheritance. Raise that hand. Put the other one on your chest. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for as many as you love, you rebuke and chasten. Where this word has chastened me, I thank you for it. I say, let the righteous smite me. It will be an excellent oil. Father, thank you for your word. I confess my sins where I have not daily denied myself of things that may be lawful but not expedient, that I've eaten into the time I should spend with you in prayer and in the word. Hindered me from getting up early in the morning. Hindered me from praying properly when I get up in the morning because I'll be sleepy because I've overeaten or have spent too long watching a movie or any other such thing. Oh Lord, I repent. I repent from today going forward by your mercy and by your grace. Lord, I will live a life of self-denial. I will walk in this narrow way by your mercy. I receive fresh mercy to help me to start again. And where I've been on it and I've not been doing it properly, help me do it better. To deny myself daily of things that are lawful and not expedient, to daily pray with strong crying and tears and supplication in the fear of God, with the armor of love, the fruit of the Spirit, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Help me to not only get on the way, to stay on the way, so that I will come into the ultimate inheritance of life without measure, the Spirit without measure, in this lifetime, and demonstrate your glory to the ends of the earth, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Pray properly in tongues. Don't pray Mickey Mouse prayers. Rakatushko Fredengaradalask. Mercy, Lord. Frakatolomo Shelebrikitolomo Tofrenes. Mercy, Lord. Labrikitolomo Shelebredofres. Lord Jesus, thank you. Labrakama Tolomo Tofrenes. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Labrakatolomo Tofres. Lombrikama Tolomas. Jelikego Tolomo Tofrenengarolomo Tofrenes. Tolomo Tofredegama Tofres. Tolomo Tolomo Tofredofresi. Ratolomo Tala. Father, thank you, Labrikatusk. Lord Jesus, thank you, Labrikatusk. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you, Labrikatusk. Tolomato Frenengaras. Tolomato Fredekakul. Tolomato Fres. Tolomato Fredo Fredo Freshe. Dolgogama Tolomato Fredes. Lombrakama Tofretusko Fredes. Lombrakama. Lombrakama Tusko Fre. Run Tusko Frede. In Jesus' name. Keep one hand. If you are home and you're watching, or if you're here and you need healing or deliverance, Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Healing and deliverance, they go hand in hand. Just stretch forth your hands. Just stretch forth your hands as I pray. And receive by faith, like that man did when he came to Jesus. Jesus was preaching the word. The power of the Lord was praying to heal the Pharisees. None of them got healed because they didn't exercise that. But you exercise your faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power that is in your word that I have preached, and the delivering power therein. For all those under the sound of my voice now, those are at home, watching through YouTube, anywhere in the world they are, those who are here physically, that are stretching forth their hands, that are in need of healing or deliverance, I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Under your breath, just say, I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. We will now share the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord impart on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you walk the narrow way by the mercy of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.